Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 213, episode 3 of
Your Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where, you know, we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, very Jungian. It is Wednesday, December 1st, 2021, which of course means it is Rosa Parks Day. Also very important, it's National Red Apple Day.
Eat a red apple day, okay.
Yeah, okay. I already ate a red apple today.
Oh, look at you.
And National Pie Day, which is interesting because pies never utilize red apples. They're always telling you to get the ones that make your mouth pucker. So, you know, it's interesting things.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, what you said, National Pie Day already?
Yeah, I said National Pie. Okay, good. Our guest and super producer Justin were pointing out that isn't 314 National Pie Day?
Well, look, according to this entry, it says we celebrate on this day, but the more popular date is January 23rd. For what? For who?
One,
what
two, the fuck three. Is Do they not know math? Is it, this is the National Pie Day for the mathematically illiterate.
Oh, you think they're doing it to be 1, 2, 3, most
probably right.
That other rapper.
Okay. They're just like numbers, you know, and pie is a number.
Anyways, yeah, I don't know.
Can't get enough National Pie Days.
Can't get enough.
My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Mamas, don't let your babies grow out their mustache. Don't let them be pickup artists that suck. Make them not look like creepy old fucks. That is courtesy of one Christy Yamaguchi Maine on this, my final day of mustachio.
It's gone.
Being mustachioed. Yeah, it is technically gone on this December 1st, but as we record this, still rocking the Movember stash. Thank you very much to our sponsors, Movember, and everyone who, you know, donated to the TDZ Movember page.
What's the Mo for in Movember? Is that for molester?
Yes.
Men's health.
Yes. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hey, as you know, it's the one and only Hideo Noho, a.k.a. Hideo Noho. And right. Hideo Noel and Let It Snow Ho. Okay, thank you Rob Cunningham at Math Demigod for that. Thank you for taking some, you know, some interesting takes with Hideo Noho. Appreciate
it. There you go. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of our favorite guests, one of you guys' favorite guests, a hilarious comedian, a very talented writer and director. Sorry, that
was... oh, shit!
That was weird.
Shots fired.
You had to roll that one back.
A famously hilarious comedian, a very talented writer and director.
Hilariously famous,
who's told jokes on the CW, the PBS, Roast Battle, Bridgetown, SF Sketchfest. She's famous as fuck, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm extremely famous. I was on the CW one time. You guys all know me.
Yeah. Why does the CW get the, but not PBS or any of the other?
Well, is it CW? Should I just say I was on CW? But that sounds wrong. No. They say the
I've
CW,
only heard
don't
it as the CW.
Because it was the WB before that.
Well, that's the thing. When I write that credit, I don't know if I should capitalize the.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's more informal.
Anyway, who is that?
Who is that? Mm. It is the hilarious... the talented, the brilliant Sarah Jones!
Thank you so much. Also very famous.
Sarah Jones!
And like one of the early people to have to be like, yo, what the fuck is up with these NFTs, man? What are y'all doing over here with this shit?
Yeah.
Straight right-clicking shit and money laundering with
crypto
my
queen.
Yeah.
Yo, I've been saving image as...
for
three little words every woman wants to hear. Yeah. Save image as.
What do you do for a living? I right click.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. My friend was telling me about a streamer that he was watching. The streamer was like, I'm going to do an NFT. And, you know, they did bidding for it and it got up to like $200. And he was like, okay, everybody. All right. This guy won the auction. I'm going to put the NFT on screen. Okay. Nobody save it. Only him. Only that guy. Nobody else save. No, nobody else save. Okay.
Come on. Honor system. Honor system.
Honor system that's NFTs. Honors.
Wait, isn't it supposed to be like not a thing that everybody can just copy and paste? I don't know.
That's the whole. But Jack, you're making a little too much sense.
You're ruining my faith in NFTs. If I don't have faith in NFTs, what do I have left?
Reached down into your deep well of faith. And...
yes.
But you know what? You got a lot of clean drug money, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Sorry, what's good? What's new? Your background is looking very pink.
Where are you?
I'm pink, yeah. I'm all about the pink. Yeah, it's good. I got some seeds coming up. That's my underrated.
Okay. Seeds? All right.
I think is underrated seeds.
We'll get to it.
I'm camping.
Give it away for free
champing
in the intro.
At the bit.
It's chomping, but yeah. I'm
why do people champing? Say champing?
I thought it was champing.
Because that's how language evolves.
This episode's going to be our Seinfeld episode where I ask the hard-hitting questions like, why do we call the CW the, but not PBS?
What's
and
going
on? These are the big ones. People, these are things that I guarantee you in 5 years will be commonly accepted spellings that are currently considered incorrect.
Yeah.
Reins, when people say take the reins, what they should write is R-E-I-N-S.
Right.
What they usually write is R-E-I-G-N-S. And that's incorrect, but will be commonly accepted soon. Sneak peek, people commonly write S-N-E-A-K-P-E-A-K, even though that's not right. Mm-mm. But they've been doing it, so it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Artesian, fake word, soon to be real. Artisanal.
That people are calling it
artisanal. Yes, people say artesian. It's not real. Artisanal, A-R-T-R-T-I-S-I-N-A-L. It should be artisanal, but doesn't matter because it's a fake language.
And they replaced artisanal with...
artisanal with artisanal.
Artesian. Oh, okay.
Artesian and artisanal.
Got it. All right. I'm confused.
Oh, interesting. It started as champ at the bit, but also chomp began as a variant of champ. So either one is okay. So you could say champ too. So you know
that's what I'm saying.
Double KO in the grammar ring.
Okay.
Champing on a red apple.
Correct.
Champing on champing on some pie here today. I kind of like that.
Man.
It's a
don't
fun
get me fucking started on apples, Jack. Do not get me started on apples. I swear to God, I will take over this podcast.
You love
them
or you hate
them? Terrified right now.
overrated.
Yeah, all right. We're about to
I got
get
one
to
word
it.
For you, Miles. Overrated.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that's a sneak peek of what's to come. Also a sneak peek of what's to come is P-E-A-K. A sneak peek. A sneaky little mountain peek. Yep. We're going to... Here are some of the things we're talking about. We're talking about the Maxwell trial. Ghislaine Maxwell's trial opened with, or I guess it was the second day, but they had the pilot of the Lolita Express yesterday up there, and he talked about how he did, in fact, see Donald Trump on that bitch, you know, flying just there in all his glory,
but what
which apparently I think was the thing that people knew, but I had... Like, he wasn't on the flight logs. I remember looking into that. So this was good to know, because I was on the fence about whether that guy was a real shithead. We're going to talk about the Democrats are finally, they finally have their priorities straight and are going after bots, baby. We're going to talk about the Stephen Paddock story that I think was asked and answered a few years ago in the national mindshare that, he was just a lone nut with no clear political motive, and we're going to take a second look at that. We'll also talk about Islamophobia from Lauren Boebert. We're going to talk about Elon Musk and why privatization maybe isn't always a great idea. Oh. Anyways, we'll talk about all that shit. But more importantly, before we get to any of that, Sarah, we like to get to know our guests a little bit better by asking you to take a look at your search history and tell us what's in there.
Let's go, guys.
Let's
I'm doing
go.
This for real. This isn't a bit. I'm going to my real Google and looking at my search. Well, the last thing I looked up was Red Notice.
What the fuck is it?
Which I think speaks volumes.
Yeah,
it does. The last thing in my Google search history before Red Notice is Succession theme song piano sheet music, and that is because I had to learn the theme to Succession, being piano proficient and watching enough Succession. And man. The music on that show, it's good. They don't have a lot of it. They have the one theme, and they just kind of play it at different speeds.
Yeah.
And like sometimes they'll transpose it a little, but like there was a pretty exciting scene recently, and it was the same thing. It was just extra fast.
Just variations on a theme. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. Like, I won't play it for you, but rest assured I can play it slowly.
Were you stoked when you found it? You're like, finally, let me fucking bang this out on the keys right now.
Well, there was a point where I was like, maybe I'll, I'll give myself a little challenge and I'll do an ear training and try and figure it out. And then I was like, no, frankly, my ear's not good enough. I'm just going to look up the sheet music.
Yeah. The last time I did that was the two times I've looked up sheet music to play something on a keyboard was Everything in Its Right Place by Radiohead, because I wanted to play that on an electric piano.
Dun, 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 dun,
of course.
Great one. And then Anytime by Brian McKnight.
The two most romantic songs of all time.
I would love to be serenaded by you, Miles, on an electric keyboard.
Oh my God. I mean, you should have shit. I really did that too. What's the saddest thing? I was single at the time, and in my mind I was like, yo, this is a good thing to have in the fucking
You're not single now, are you?
No, but when I played
That's what I'm saying, Miles.
They said, what is this song? And stop playing it.
Yeah, no single man is, no partnered man is sitting there figuring out electric keyboard parts in his room. Right. Too busy.
Yeah.
Too busy doing other things.
How are you feeling about Succession this week or this
I'm
season?
Not caught up yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I started watching this series, and I had been putting it off because I like to binge. So I usually will wait until I have some kind of a winter holiday. That's a nice binging time.
Yeah.
For me, lots of hours of darkness. So yeah, I'm only about halfway through season two. So please don't spoil things for me.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Everything else in my life has already been
in
ruined.
Its right
so.
Place.
Oh, so
yes, in its right place. Everything's fine.
I was like, oh yeah, that last episode was intense, and I'm like, oh wait, you're okay. Different one.
Don't tell me.
I'm not even saying anything. I'm not even saying anything.
Don't say anything. I do like it. My friend was like, do you think it humanizes the rich too much? And I was like, I think it kind of dehumanizes
them. Yeah, they're monsters. Anything. They suck.
They're really monsters. Yeah. And like, you know, that's what the job of the press is to humanize the rich. That's what they generally do, you know.
Yeah.
Rich people are very humanized and, and they're humans. But yeah, man, they got good fucking actors on that show. I mean, that sounds so stupid to say, but
no,
they got good fucking actors on that show.
Right.
Yeah. No, there is an eeriness to it, especially as it gets like they kind of start expanding the world a little bit of what their like spheres of influence are. And you're kind of like, yeah, these people are scum, and not even like the fun Sopranos way. Like, it's more like I more like watch it to be like, let's check in on that fucked up family who has it all. But like, I'm glad they're unhappy because they got everything.
Yeah, it's like a fun kind of like Arrested Development meets Veep, but more dramatic and less funny.
Right. Miles, you're up on it. You watched the most recent episode.
I started it, and it's getting intense.
I can't. Like, I think this might be where I stop watching the show, just because I like how pathetic the premise of it is, and like the build up to this episode. Every time he talks about like his birthday party, it's just like, fuck, because he's been so brutal this season. To just watch at any moment, you're just like, God, yeah. For that to all come to a head.
Hey. I'm ready. I might have to, you know, that's why I was like, it's too late in the evening for me to continue down this road. So
yeah. Exactly.
Let me pick it up.
I love my success boys.
A bit of data.
Gotta watch them.
My success boys. My
successos.
And I'm like, man, there's barely any people of color.
Where are my successos
at? And I'm like,
yeah, successos.
Does Fisher Stevens, because he was wearing like brown face and short circuit, does he count as a person of color in that cast?
Yeah, brown van. Justin Trudeau is black now.
Yeah,
because of when he did blackface.
It's
you know, what conservatives like to say. Oh, if you can change genders, then maybe I'm transracial. Just fucking sure. Yeah, you're black now. If you want to be black,
that's great.
Just okay.
No one's
whatever
gonna respect
you want.
That, but say whatever.
Enjoy
you
it.
To get out my face.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
Well, I am going to go with apples.
Okay.
Apples, I would say overrated. Not
of all sorts.
The fruit. Yeah. Well, here's the thing that I found out that kind of fucked up my whole life.
Okay.
All of the apples that we eat, the strains that we know and love,
your
Honeycrisp, your Pink Lady, your Red Delicious, your Golden Delicious, your Jazz, your Gala, etc. All of these fruits are made from clones of a mother tree. And they have to be made from clones because when apples reproduce sexually.
Make love. Yeah.
When apples make love, they create hybrids. And their hybrids are not what they call true to strain. So if you were to let apples have sex. In nature, the way that they normally do, you end up with a completely unpredictable fruit. This is not helpful for the needs of the marketplace. So all of our apples are they are literally identical plants, genetically speaking. So that means if there is some kind of a virus that affects the Honeycrisp apple. There's no Honeycrisp apples. Boom, gone. That's it. Because there's no biodiversity.
Right. We live in like Apple Gattaca.
Yes, exactly. Applica.
Oh,
Gattacap. We're growing Gattacap.
Bananas too. Bananas are all cloned from a single banana. They're Bananica.
Oh,
yes,
Bananica.
We're in Bananica and Applica. And I just think people should know, because once you know that all of the Red Delicious apples are genetically actually identical, it just feels different. And it's kind of weird knowing that there are potentially millions of apples that we could be eating of unknown, unpredictable type that we are not eating because we are isolating all of our apples into single strains and not letting them fuck.
Man. Let that happen.
They're in their little prisons.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would probably hold true for like a lot of fruits at that point, right? Not just apples. Not to say everything, but I feel like that logic would tend to apply for, you know, most other cash crops.
It does. It does. And so most like trees that you buy, like if you buy a lemon tree, you know, to keep the strain, you know, everything is made from cuttings. You know, they'll take cuttings. But it's strongest. It's apples are one of the most isolated because they have a tendency to hybridize so much more quickly and so much more unpredictably than most other fruits.
Okay.
So it's like, makes you kind of think, apples. They're up to something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't trust a clone.
I don't really trust a clone. You shouldn't trust a clone. They're all replicants. Yeah, they're delicious little replicants.
Yeah.
Where's the free love farmer who's like, yo, my apples fuck. And like, whatever you get. But it's a mouthful, and I'll tell you that. Okay?
No. That's a hole in the marketplace, Miles, and I think you should fill it.
Absolutely. Like, there needs to be somebody who's at every farmer's market being like, all right.
I got wild apples.
With a sign, be like, yo, they're pushing clothes over here. They want one world government and shit. Come have my delicious apples. They fuck freely on my farm, and
they
some taste like shit.
Mm. Unvaxxed apples.
Some taste like shit, but I guarantee it's a flavor you have never experienced in your life, and that's kind of the whole ride.
Yeah. This one's brown delicious. I know you might not have.
Oh, it's soft like a plum.
I always kind of feel bad for apples when people talk shit on them, like Red Delicious and stuff. It's like, it's not their fault. They tried, you know, they tried to be better.
Right.
We isolated them because we wanted a type of apple that would ship really well, you know?
Right.
We just wanted them to ship and, you know, make it so we could cut them and slice them and put them in little plastic bags and then serve them to kids in school and they wouldn't turn to complete mush.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why Red Delicious, it's not its fault.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just a little apple.
One of my favorite facts is like that pre-Bananatica bananas didn't really look like that. And same with corn on the cob. And so all of the selective breeding, we keep making the food we eat look like big dicks. Like that's just, there's like something in our nature where we're like,
yumma, yumma,
you know, first of all, it could be bigger and more delicious and also just like a giant dick.
Right.
Just a huge.
Yeah.
Yo, can we get some more veins on this cucumber, please?
Exactly.
I'm tired of eating this old smooth ass cucumber and doing shit for me.
What is something you think is underrated, sir?
Well, I guess related. I think starting seeds is underrated. It's really, really fun.
What that means?
That means when you sprout a seed, when you get a seed and you sprout it and you get a plant from that, as opposed to like buying a seedling or clone or whatever. Just the process of a seed opening up.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. That's a rush.
I have not done that I was growing weed in high school.
And it's a rush, right?
Yeah. Because, oh my God, you're telling me, like, you come back from school, you're like, yes!
Yes!
Come the fuck
every
out,
morning, I'm
green
up
shoot.
I'm only at my seeds. I'm like, who's up? Who's up?
And I'm like, okay, put the paper towel back on it. Put the paper towel. I went a little too soon. Let it germinate. But yeah, it's been a minute, actually. I forgot about that excitement. Thank you. Sorry.
That's what I'm saying. It's underrated. People got to do it more.
What are you sprouting?
There's some stuff that's so easy. Oh, I mean, so I got some grow lights for my sprouts because I'm doing some. But I'm sprouting now sunflowers so I can eat those little sunflower sprouts because I love them. And they're so expensive. Okay. So you got to just sprout sunflowers. I mean, that's the thing about sunflower sprouts is it's a sprout. You cut it, you eat it, and it's gone. There's no sunflower.
Oh, you got to start.
It doesn't come back.
Right.
But damn, they're fucking delicious. So I got sunflowers. I got like kale, lettuces. I got a bunch of native seeds sprouting because I'm trying to plant more native plants in my yard. So I got some cool ones.
What are sunflower sprouts? I never even heard of this.
You never had sunflower sprouts like on a sandwich or in a salad or anything?
I mean, it's just a. How's that different? Like, I mean, like alfalfa sprouts, like typical sprouts.
No, it's the same. It's just from a sunflower seed.
Oh, but it's delicious. But I'm
they're
saying,
just like
it sounds like it's got a.
You ever seen like a sunflower come up? It's a really meaty little
from a seed
sprout.
Into an absolute like, boss.
Yeah, it's big. So they're crunchy. They're yummy.
All right. Yeah,
it's great.
The most I've done are like garlic sprouts or like sprouts that come from like other more flavored things that have a little bit of funk to them.
I love garlic greens, dude. Yeah. They're so good.
Yeah.
There we go.
I'll show you guys. I mean, it's not really podcast shit, but you know, I got a webcam.
I actually prefer, like, I'm picturing you in the middle of just a gigantic farm with, like, just fields of corn and shit.
Yeah. You know, in the middle of L.A.
Yeah.
But here, I'll turn my, there's my shit.
Oh, yeah. There look, you got them on the racks and everything.
Yeah, I got a whole thingy.
Damn.
But yeah, I got, like, a bunch of native flowers this spring. I'm hoping to lure some butterflies towards my...
Who's that working that tractor out there on the horizon?
that's my cat.
Yeah. Damn, talented.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Meet Tomboy X. Makers of the original boxer briefs for women, Tomboy X designs gender and size inclusive underwear and apparel. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
And we're back. And so I guess everybody knew this already. It gave me hope that we might be seeing some shit in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial after, I don't know, heading into it, I was like, they're not going to let shit, anything drop, right? Like, they killed Epstein. Like, why would they let her come out and say the shit? But yeah, in court yesterday, one of the pilots of the Lolita Express,
the pilot, I believe, right?
Yeah, the pilot, like to the point that Jeffrey Epstein like put his kids through college, like literally like paid their tuition, bought him a home with like acres in New Mexico. So he was on those flights, said he had seen Clinton and Prince Andrew, which had gotten like most of the attention, and which I think we had seen on flight logs, but also confirmed having seen Donald Trump on the flights. The pilot claims he never saw underage girls without their parents or knew of any sexual activity happening on the plane. But
just because she's calling him daddy doesn't mean she's his parent.
Right.
He's her parent.
Yeah.
Also, it makes sense. It's noisy in a jet with the door closed to the cockpit.
Right. And also,
Jeffrey Epstein had so many daughters.
Right. Right. And it was probably pretty incriminating if he did know about that. So, you know, I'm sure he's not.
I just imagine him at the front, like a school bus driver, just being like, you guys keep quiet back there. Yeah.
Don't make me land.
Shut up. This is unsafe.
Yeah. Put your seatbelts on. That first day, though, it's wild. Like, because Maxwell's lawyer came out fucking swinging. She was like, yo, they're trying to make her a scapegoat, fam. Just because Epstein's dead, they had to put the attention on somebody else. And then, like, the prosecutors had to keep objecting every time she's like, she's a scapegoat. And they're like, objection. Or they'd be like, she's a stand-in for Jeffrey Epstein. They're like, objection. This is right. not.
Yeah.
We see what you're trying accomplice. To do. Then, like, dragging the victims, too.
Yeah. So that's, the part of their strategy that I was, at least, you know, thought there might be some promise for us finding out some shit is that it seems like they're going to make the case that she was like one of Epstein's victims, basically, like she was being manipulated by him. And like, if that is the strategy, which it seems like it is at least partially the strategy, you know, that would, it does seem like they would want to prove like that all the powerful influence that he had over powerful people, because that would make him more unfuckwithable. So I don't know. That's what I'm hoping, is that they kind of develop that and are like, yeah, I mean, he told me he had compromising material on Bill Clinton and Donald Trump.
Right. If you're fully going to like dish it off the bad guy role to the even bigger bad guy, I mean, you would have to do that. Otherwise, I don't think the strategy as it is of being like, oh, one of the accusers like does drugs.
Right.
And it's like, what?
And just wants money.
She was no angel.
Right. No, literally. And then, you know, she said like off the top, she was like, since the dawn of Adam and Eve, she said, ever since Eve was accused of tempting Adam with the apple.
Yeah.
Women have been blamed for men's bad behavior. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit of a, yeah, they're trying, her defense is trying a lot of different strategies.
Pretty strong comparison there.
Yeah. No, for sure. I totally. But I think at this point when it's like so
ever
clear,
since one man stood up and was crucified for fucking underage girls,
right,
people have been trying to bring down a powerful guy with powerful ideas.
Right.
My name is Jeffrey Epstein, and I am like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
What's he doing here?
All right. So this is all to say we'll be keeping an eye on that trial, probably updating you if anything interesting happens.
Yeah.
The Democrats, speaking of interesting, it seems like they finally have their priorities straight. They are going after bots.
Yeah, bots. You say, what the fuck is a bot? And why?
I hate bots.
In the middle of a pandemic and just rapid exponential income inequality, why are we focusing on bots? And that's a
the bots are the ones changing the climate, Miles.
Thank you, right? The bots are the ones that are preventing the Build Back Better Act from getting passed. So let's put it this like this. If you've tried to buy a PS5 or an Xbox Series X and an NVIDIA GeForce RTX card, Beyonce's Ivy Park apparel, or even Pokemon cards on the internet, chances are you have been greeted with some shit that says sold out. And you're asking yourself, but I logged in at the time that the stuff was supposed to drop and be available, and I clicked everything, I put it in my cart in under a minute, and it was still sold out. How can that be? Well, that's because of the reselling market's use of bots. And basically, they're just like computer programs that are able to add items to carts with all the needed payment and like shipping information like instantaneously. So like you're just getting beat technologically to just put these things in a cart and process a transaction. So then scalpers and resellers take shit like to eBay or StockX and sell it for, you know, a huge markup and make a lot of money. There's a story about a 16-year-old kid who did $1.7 million in revenue by reselling PS5s and all kinds of shit that he was using bots for. Damn. And only his profit, though, only $110,000. Okay, so leave him alone. SEC.
Wait, where's he getting that seed money from?
I think, look, you probably, if you start real small, right, you get one PS5 and you sell it for double, now you got double, and you pour that back into two PS5s that you can get with bots, and then you double. I mean, there's, you know, you just got to start
small. It's Flash Boys, but with PS5s.
But it's, it's, like saying he only, so he put in 1.6 million and made 1.7, like that suggests that at some point he had $1.6 million.
I think that was his net revenue. So okay. I don't know if that's just basically, I think over when you add up everything that he sold and then taking off, like recouping
what
his
he
little
put back in
cut.
That,
yeah. That it added
I don't
up
know
to
how
that.
Numbers work.
Me either. And it doesn't matter. But that's why Representatives Paul Tonko of New York, Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, Chuck Schumer, and Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico, they have all announced they're pushing for the Stop Grinch Bots Act. Like, okay, what the fuck is this? This is some shit that's been kicking around the hill for like a couple of years. But specifically, the Stopping Grinch Bots Act would expand on a law passed in 2016 that outlawed bots from circumventing control measures to put tickets to like music concerts and sports. Like essentially just saying making it illegal for scalpers to resell tickets like this. And this legislation that they're pushing now would essentially take, say, this applies now to all online retail sites. So if you're a sneakerhead, you're like, oh, shit, look at that. I might have a chance at getting a sneaker. Or if you want your Pokemon card or fuck it, even sometimes you see restaurant reservations go up instantly because people use bots to even get restaurant reservations. So,
you know, what would be really bad is if they use these to vote.
Yeah. Well, look, one
that
thing
would be bad. We should stop it before they can do that.
Right.
But yeah, one thing at a time.
We got to get in early on this problem.
So, I mean, I think this on one level, you're like, okay, that's interesting. But this also feels like a real low effort attempt to make it seem like the party's doing something. And yeah, like that, there's like, yeah, we get it. Supply chain stuff. Like we hear complaints from parents trying to get certain things. And it's these fucking bots, you know? So we're going to handle that and vote blue no matter who, huh? All right. Thanks.
They'll always act when it's in the interest of like people spending money, consumerism, like making consumer culture, like
unless that, it's like consumer protections. It's like that weird fine line. Right. It's like, yeah, we're going to make it easier for you to give away your money, but we're going to make it hard as fuck to get your money back.
Right. Exactly.
It's like a fucking like an old school like wooden fish trap where it's like they get in, but they can't come out.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, a teenager making money on the internet, that could be a big problem if we don't do something about it.
Absolutely. What's next?
$110,000? That's
for a child?
That's absurd. No, but a child should not be making that much money. You know, that's adult money. Adult, yeah, money for billionaires.
Yeah. 100%.
I think this is like,
was he? He's not paying. He can't be paying taxes on that $110,000. That's like 50, you know, that's like 500 grand the government's missing out on.
Yeah, where's the IRS? Yeah.
Selfish teenager.
Yeah.
Quit asking if I'm looking at my 1099 shit. Ask this young man where the fuck his 110,000 came from. IRS, the fuck.
Yeah, it's, you know, it could be cool if online sales worked better. I feel like it's maybe like the 500th priority that they should be paying attention to right now, generously.
Oh, yeah. But again, that's why it just feels like one of those things that eat real easy win, because like Chuck Schumer's words are even like, it shouldn't be so hard during the holidays to get the gifts that you need to make memories. You know, it's like this, like, I give a fuck energy when it's not, has nothing to do with this. And I think it helps.
Bro,
take
give me money.
Right,
give
exactly.
Give me money.
About extended unemployment benefits. Okay, shut the fuck up. I said we're going to handle the bots right now. And then maybe we'll talk.
We're going to make sure you get your slippers in time. Those slippers that you ordered, you got to get them.
Especially because, you know, that was on Oprah's list. So we can't fuck around and have that not be available.
Mm. Oprah will take this country down.
Well, speaking of Oprah taking this country down, actually, this next story has nothing to do with that. Although Dr. Oz has announced for that he's running for Senate. So that could be Oprah taking this country down. Jesus. Down the path of victory. Because, yeah, Dr. Oz is a hero, personal hero of mine. One of the greats to ever do it.
One of the greatest doctors.
One of the greatest doctors.
He is actually a good doctor who just...
You got Phil, Oz, Drew, Gupta, the classic doctors.
Dr. Oz, the biggest tragedy of Dr. Oz is he was actually like one of the nation's top heart surgeons and gave that up to go do this bullshit. To build life.
Well, now he's in the nation's hearts.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in the hearts of all.
And saying, you know, ladies, the vagina is like a self-cleaning oven.
That's right.
And you're like, okay, don't. Why are you doing a whole segment on this, Dr. Oz? This is on TV. That's some real shit.
Yeah. It gets hot.
I'm not joking. There's a whole clip where he's explaining. You're like, this is the weirdest TV I've ever fucking seen. Like, why? And like, just watching people in the audience, like, oh wow, self cleaning oven, huh?
Right, with like a stage sized model of the vagina that you could walk through.
That's sick. Yeah. I clean my oven with a Lysol douche, like Summer's Eve.
There you go.
I put Summer's Eve in my oven.
There you go. Yeah. It all works
after
together.
I fuck it. I don't want it to get pregnant. I don't want to get a bun in there.
There you go. I mean,
That's fucking stupid. I'm sorry, guys. That's stupid.
It's actually probably where Dr. Oz came up with the oven metaphor, was hearing people talk about getting a bun in the oven.
Yeah.
I should be making more money. I should be making that Dr. Oz money.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, so this is just kind of an update, but, you know, in response to last week's story about Kyle Rittenhouse, the fact that people weren't calling him a right-wing extremist, even though he was at Trump rallies and a supporter of Blue Lives Matter and, you know
throwing up
things
white supremacy hand signs.
Yeah. One of our readers, Fuzzy Rage Monster, is actually the display name on Twitter.
Thank you, reader.
Suggested we look at the FBI's investigation into Stephen Paddock, the Las Vegas shooter, because according to...
Oh, Mr. Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, Mr. Mandalay Bay. Like, the record that made it through to, like, sort of the national shared consciousness was that he was, like, a lone nut. They couldn't figure out a motive. He basically got, like, the Oswald treatment, that he was just had a screw loose and was.
That's a strong implication.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The Oswald treatment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so it was somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying no, but like the way that they just treated Oswald and
going nuts.
The JFK assassination as like apolitical. That's what they did with Panic right. too. They were just like, nothing to see here. Move along. But according to like, you know, just a small amount of looking, people who are familiar with him say he was radically anti-government and like trying to start a war to get people to rise up because he thought the government was coming for our guns.
Yeah.
And yeah, he like,
he was like, this country needs a wake up call or some shit.
This country
right?
needs to wait. We need to wake up the American public and get them to arm themselves in response to looming threats.
But it was a country music festival. So I think a lot of those people already
right
had guns or were pro gun at least.
He was trying to get the biggest bang. Like he was researching where he could
bang for his buck.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Literally. He spent a lot of time researching, okay, where could I kill the most people? And this is the one that he came up with. But he made reference so he was trying to buy a gun part used to convert semi-automatic firearms into a fully automatic machine gun. And the gun dealer was like, oh, that's illegal. I don't do that. And he like became enraged and made reference to, this is from The Intercept, a litany of anti-government conspiracy theories, including supposed plans by the Federal Emergency Management Administration, FEMA, to set up detention camps of Americans and plans for widespread confiscation of firearms. Paddock believed that Hurricane Katrina in 2005 was just a dry run for law enforcement and military to start kicking down doors and confiscating guns, which, you know, is part like that seems to be in the same category, like connected.
Is he saying that that Katrina was engineered or just that the government took the opportunity?
I think there's a lot of people who think it was engineered, that
the hurricane.
Not the hurricane, the
okay.
breaching of the walls. I think they're...
The levees, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The levees. Okay. People think okay. that they were blown up to create the disaster.
Oh. Hmm.
But it's, you know, this is part of a sort of mainstream of extremist ideology and like conspiracy thinking that has only become like more mainstream since that, since Paddock perpetrated one of the biggest terrorist attacks in the history of the United States. And you know,
no ideology.
I think the fact that it was a gun, because America is like very forgiving of those, like if he had blown up that many people, like I think they would have had a harder time like just kind of yada yadaing it. But it's just, I think it is really damaging that they, you know, came up with that sort of down the middle explanation. It was also at a time when Homeland Security and FBI agents were saying that they were being forced to downplay the threat of white supremacists and other, you know, right-wing terror by the Trump White House. But certainly hasn't, like, you know, there's been mention of that becoming a priority under Biden, but he hasn't like been like, for instance, look at this massive terror attack, this guy had right-wing beliefs that he was like very angry about in the lead up to this massive terror attack.
Mm.
But they don't even call it
a terror
attack.
He also just like went up to the top floor of a hotel with like 8 fucking duffel bags full of huge guns, and everyone was like, seems right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just a normal guy. Wait, what's, and it, yeah. and it, and it's funny because it's like, even whether or not like federal law enforcement wants to be like, man, we were under pressure. It's like, look at your track record, homie. Like, you didn't need no fucking pressure. Like, this right. is what you do.
Yeah,
you're exactly. either trying to set people up, if they're Muslim or black or whatever, and entrap people and be like, hey, man, terror plot thwarted, even though we basically set the whole thing up. And then in this case, just not even managing to give people some semblance of an idea of like what the threats that the country faces by saying, yeah, I mean, when you look at it, he's definitely on the right side of the spectrum looking at some interesting stuff on the internet. So that might be somewhere to start, but it's easier yeah. to just make it very clean and sanitized and say, I mean, there's no way to tell like why someone would do this when they're not Muslim. So right.
yeah, it's exactly. closed. Like attacks carried out by Muslims and Middle Easterners are routinely labeled as terrorism, while anything carried out by non-Muslims like Paddock are not. Like, that's kind of the
rule. Well, he was a, you know, he was a landlord, Jack.
Right.
They've never, he was a good guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, he was a landlord?
Owned a few apartment. Yeah, he was a landlord. He owned a few apartment buildings.
Man, we need to issue an apology then.
Yeah, yeah. He's just trying to provide provide housing in a you know, help people.
Yeah, yeah. It couldn't be more of like what America values as a landowner who like manipulates stuff.
But you know, like that's the thing. When we'll talk every time, it's Kyle Rittenhouse. It's fucking, I can't, there's all of these people who like to go outside the law to, you know, maintain the white status quo. Just an inability to just describe it for what it is.
Yeah.
Like, it just, and the mainstream media can never do that because they can't. I think the fear of having people being like, how could you say that? It's like, well, you need to actually open up your eyes, person who's angry and reading it, like calling in, because this is actually, this is the path we're on, but no one's really articulating it in a way that makes for a, you know, objective assessment of where we are.
Yeah.
My mom like watches the news, but I guess she had heard of Kyle Rittenhouse, but she never knew what he did. Mm. And she was like, so who's Kyle Rittenhouse? And I was like, oh, he shot a bunch of people. She was like, really? The way they talk about him, I thought he was like a basketball player or something.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because of the
way that they talked about him, like, yeah. With a lot of respect.
Yeah.
And with a lot of like, this guy's important. And, you know, they talk about the case because the case is important, of course. But
right.
There was, you know, no point at which it was really driven home what he had done, when he had done it, and that adults had helped him do it. She thought he was a grown adult who was like straight up in the NBA.
Right.
The way they talked, the way they said Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's, again, it was wild to see how many, you know, it's in New York Times or other, you know, big news outlets be like, just take any of the language out that would describe what his bench
what the charges
would have been
were.
Ideologically, or even describing people like not being too much like, and he shot this one guy dead. It was like, and then, you know, after this dude attacked him, like very much. And I get to like, if you're sort of objectively describing a situation, that's one thing. But there's a lot of rhetorical strategery around that that felt very like, and it's just a shame what happened to this young man. He's just scared. It's chaotic.
Nothing
I mean, it's pretty chaotic for your mom to drive you to a riot with a gun in your hand. That's right. Pretty fucking chaotic, you know? And that, like, I didn't find out about that until pretty recently. And it seems to me a really important detail.
Yeah.
When it comes to figuring out what happened and with what intentions.
Yeah. I mean, just talking about the both sidesing of these sorts of stories, Miles, you were pointing out this Lauren Boebert, Ilhan Omar story where.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pronounced Boebert.
Boebert. Yeah. Rudy Laurent Boebert. Yeah, so Boebert out here, Gogurt, made some just, you know, off the wall Islamophobic remarks over the Thanksgiving break. She was talking to a group of supporters, like literally like a group of old grizzled bikers and stuff who were like so horny for her. She was like, so I was in an elevator at the Capitol and saw an officer sprinting towards me. And then this is from this news article, quote, she then turned and saw Ilhan Omar standing nearby. And this is what Boebert said, quote, I said, well, she doesn't have a backpack. We should be fine. And then the audience was like laughing and stuff. And then she's going to say, and I said, oh, look, the jihad squad decided to show up for work today. So, you know, pretty, I think we all know what
that's pretty cute. I think Lauren knows that jihad, you know, in Islam is not just in reference to attacks of violence or terrorism, but is a term used to describe the moral struggle of every person and every Muslim to do right, you know, by the word. It's a spiritual struggle. And I think that Lauren Boebert knew that.
Yeah.
That's what she was. She was like the jihad squad who struggle every day to improve our country and to, you know, do their jobs. That's what she was saying, I think. And I find that really admirable. So Miles, I don't understand why you would
she goes on to define,
slander her like that.
She defines intifada after this. And that's where the rub, no. So
the intifada squad.
So she then goes on, you know, again, Ilhan Omar is like, this is completely made up. First of all, you should see whenever I pass her in the hall, she has her eyes low. She doesn't even look me in my eyes. So don't even tell me that we're going to be in an elevator together. That's just straight up bullshit. And then, so this kicked off a whole thing again because the GOP was already dealing with the censure of Paul Gosar going after another woman of color in Congress. And they're like, fuck. So Kevin McCarthy tried to like get the healing started up by being like, well, she apologized to me. Boebert also gave her, you know, very standard non-apology to any Muslims that may have been offended kind of shit. Mm-hmm. And then so they got so Boebert called Omar and the shit just, you know, it didn't go anywhere because Ilhan Omar was expecting some kind of apology and she was just kind of doubling down on her stance and like being like, okay, I'm sorry to a point, but like, don't make me say apologies like out loud in public. That's not going to happen.
Because, like, honestly, you didn't have a backpack. And so, like, I don't feel like I was lying because you didn't have a backpack.
Also, like, that is, like, so tired. It's like a stupid meme I see on TikTok a lot, too. So part of me almost feels like she's getting some of her writing ideas from TikTok videos that are whack. But they go
100%, dude, 100%. Lauren Boebert is, like, wake up on TikTok. Like,
oh, she's like, oh, wow. There's,
of course. She's, like, scrolling through all the girls who are, like, I didn't get my vaccination, but here's a picture of my fake vax card.
It's right, exactly.
Like, smart.
Right. Or even like just stupid dance memes where someone would be like, this person handed me a backpack and ran away. And like, it's like a dude like in a dark outfit meant to look like a terrorist. And like these dudes dance like, wait, what? Yeah. And it cuts. And
I love those dances where it's like someone's so like stupid. Doing the crybaby and they're like, did you know trauma can affect your childhood?
Right. So, you know, this is
like
the thing.
Humping the ground.
Boebert isn't, you know, obviously she's not a politician. She's just a mascot for these people who only want to see bigots get up to a microphone and just attack people. And the New York Times, again, when we're talking about both sides, this is how they, you know, clearly Lauren Boebert has a track record of ridiculously bigoted, Islamophobic, racist statements. But the New York Times describes the spat like this. The two women, this is a quote, the two women have their fans and detractors, but they could not be more different. Ms. Omar, a Somali refugee and leader of the House Progressive Caucus, represents a diverse and liberal district that includes most of Minneapolis and its near-in suburbs. Ms. Boebert, the owner of Shooter's Grill in Rifle, Colorado, which she reopened during the pandemic against state orders and where servers are encouraged to carry guns, unseated a five-term Republican in 2020 by running far to his right in a largely rural mountain district. And you're okay. And then, like, meanwhile,
different people, they have different positions, but they're doing the same job.
Right. And you're like, this is, again, wow, way to, you know, carry water for her. But then you'll see like other articles around this that were trying to paint like act like as if Ilhan Omar has blood on her hands, too, just because she was critical of Israeli policies. And like that's whole like while also platforming like Boebert's dumb quotes and like other shit that she said in defense, like how she's like, I'm a strong Christian woman and Omar is a terrorist that hates Jewish people and police, and not much analysis after that. Just being like, and that's what she says. So there's your news, folks.
It's funny that she was talking shit about like someone who she can't even like look in the eyes at work because she's like, yeah. And that's when I told him, you're not the boss of me, fuck boy. All right. And
right.
It's like, you didn't say that shit, man.
Nah, you're right.
I pointed my finger in her face, and she cried. She cried in that elevator.
Right.
And she'll say to you that she didn't, but I saw her cry.
She cried. I seen it. She called her mom right after. And she's like, well, she was really mean to me again. But yeah, that's some Debo energy that Ilhan Omar was telling her. She's like, you don't even look me in my... You turn your eyes down when you see me.
That's Ellen shit.
Yeah. Right. And also, you didn't find all my toothpicks, did you? That's right, because you're slipping on your cleaning job.
I saw after the shooting on the set of Rust, she wore a t-shirt that said, guns don't kill people, Alec Baldwin does, which is pretty cold. And I think took away kind of the wrong message from what happens when you have a loaded gun on a set.
Wait, Ellen did?
No, Lauren Boebert.
Oh,
yeah.
That would have been funny.
Yo,
that would have been fucking funny if Ellen just goes right wing.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
Ellen could be president if she went right wing, 100%. If Ellen DeGeneres went alt right, she'd be president in a second.
Oh, she's smashing the suburbs.
She'd be like, "You Democrats, I'm gay, so I've got you by the throat. Right. Republicans, check it out. I'm rich as fuck and I'm a monster.
Also, and look at me kissing on George W. Bush at the football game.
I'm a lesbian, but not when it comes to George Dub.
He's my trade.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Meet Tomboy X. Makers of the original boxer briefs for women, Tomboy X designs gender and size-inclusive underwear and apparel. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
And we're back, and just a quick story about our boy, our patron saint. You know, he's our philosopher king here on the Daily Zeitgeist. Elon Musk, love to quote him, love everything he has to say.
Sir Elon,
what a genius! He's cool, he's fun. This is me doing an impression of like 20% of males in America right now. Anyway,
pretty good impression, Jack.
So there's this section of the book Wisdom of Crowds where they talk about like how dumb crowds can actually be, and they use the Challenger disaster as an example. And it's just this like slow motion train wreck where like a handful of really obstinate leaders like are told multiple times, hey, these O-rings are malfunctioning. When they get below this temperature, there's a very good chance that launch date, it'll be below this temperature, people could die. And they just kind of took that as like, okay, that's one opinion. However, we want to launch on this date. So who else has some thoughts? And just, it was like half of the people in the room, or maybe not half, but like a handful of the people who were in the room, like planning this launch, were like knew that it was going to explode when it took off, but they just like would not fucking listen to them because they had a deadline to hit, and also because the shuttles hadn't blown up to that point, and so they thought they were like kind of invincible. But
this is exactly what producing is like. This is like everything that I've ever produced. Is there's three people going, we can't do that, we don't have the money and it's not going to work, and then three other people going, well, but we really want it.
But what if we did?
Okay.
But what if we just do?
I'm not paying you to tell me what I can't do.
I'm asking you to do the impossible. And if you don't do it, I'm going to be upset, even though I told you it was impossible.
Right. Okay. So you want us to shoot a car chase with gunfire being exchanged and you don't even want to pay for short-term liability?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Do you know anything about production?
So where do you want to put, how do you want to attach the camera to the car? Oh, you just want us to run alongside the car with the, okay. Oh,
someone's going to hold me by the hips.
Faster!
Someone holds me by the hips and I lean out. Okay.
Anyways, this Elon Musk story kind of seems like that on steroids, because he, the day after Thanksgiving. You always know a cool boss when he's sending out a very troubling, mean email the day after Thanksgiving.
Like on a holiday weekend.
Yeah, on a holiday weekend. He is like,
team no sleep.
Guys, SpaceX is going to go bankrupt unless you start making these engines faster. Apparently, they're...
Don't tell people that, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
I hope someone's like, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but he's basically threatening their livelihood, basically being like, you guys are going to be unemployed this time next year if you can't, like, fix this bottleneck in the supply chain. These engines are going to be...
I can't believe moving to Texas didn't fix everything for him.
That's what it's like without the regulations. Like, I thought he was home free. But, like, these are the engines that are supposed to be sending their rockets into orbit next year. Like, that's the thing that they're supposed to be doing is launching and his goal is to be launching these rockets into orbit every 2 weeks in 2022.
Jesus Christ.
Just like firing them up at the sky like a fucking fireworks show.
Is he going to be in one?
Well, that's the thing is like Hopefully. Some of them are going to have people on board. So it's like he's reacting to short-term, you know, market indicators like any CEO does, which is without any regard for like what is actually good for the long-term health of the company and more just like what's going to happen next week, what's going to happen at the next board meeting and earnings call. And
how many times do we have to watch this happen and have it fully documented? Like Juicero, Theranos, yes. SpaceX. It's not different. Right. It's the same.
Yeah.
You just lie and you say you have a technology that you don't. People give you a bunch of money. And then you go, all right, engineers, make it happen. And they go, actually, we can't.
Right.
Then
right.
And then you lose all your money. It's not like we haven't seen this happen before.
Right.
Yeah. And
I just love his.
We're belief. Literally having the Theranos trial now. Like, what world are people living in?
Yeah. And it's just,
He made a flamethrower. It's weird. I think because he has a track record of other things that happened, then it's like, there's like this, you know.
But he has a much larger track record of saying other things are going to happen that didn't happen. Everyone's like, yeah, he made PayPal. And it's like, okay, yeah, PayPal works. Yes. What about the tunnels? What about the fucking flamethrowers or whatever the fuck?
Hey,
chainsaws. I don't know. All his other shit.
The Hyperloop?
Yeah.
Hyperloop. Nothing else works. Nothing else happened.
Yeah. And the
PayPal is a website. It wasn't ambitious.
Yeah. So this seems to be kind of in keeping with Tesla also, where Tesla was, you know, can make a cool car, but they can't make it fast enough to like be a profitable company. And so he just basically gets mad at the people producing it and like starts threatening them and doing like all sorts of wild shit. Like there's stories of him threatening his, you know, employees who were like, these conditions are inhumane, man. And he's just like, yeah, all right, you're fired. And
okay, I'm about to show you inhumane.
I'm going to show up at your house on Thanksgiving and go fuck yourself. But yeah, it's like, I don't know. He seems like he will take a cool idea and then just be like, yeah, and we're going to be doing this at scale. And the fact that that is impossible, be damned. So yeah, it just seems like he doesn't care about the people who work for him. He cares about the end goal. And oftentimes his end goal is unrealistic. You know, the safety of Tesla cars has come into question. And this is a higher stakes version of that. And it just seems like this is maybe why we thought privatizing space travel wasn't a great idea. But we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it'll work out great.
Who knows?
Well, speaking of technology malfunctions, we had a blackout. Sarah is back with us. She is on her iPhone.
Ooh.
Hello.
Dedicated. Hello. And I'm not going to blame it all on Elon Musk, but it certainly didn't help. Let's just put it
I think
way.
He heard us.
Grimes definitely had a hand in that, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
She's made herself virtual, and she is traveling through the internet, protecting the good name of...
Yeah, she's a little fairy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She used to go on TikToks about Elon Musk and defend him.
Yeah, I know. That was
in the comments.
Those were the days, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What happened?
The salad love was days. Love.
Well, Sarah June, it has been such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
I am on Instagram at corpseflower. That's corpse, F-L-O-U-R. And I am on the internet at sarahjune.online. That's my website.
There it is.
And you can send me an email. You can send me money. You can, you know, just watch all my videos. Sometimes people do that. And then they tell me, I went on your website and I watched all your videos. And I go, oh, wow. And then we don't really talk about it in more detail because I don't know how to respond. But that could be you.
Could be you, dear leader. I said, dear Andy. Leader, dear listener.
Dear
Damn, we're doing a North Korean podcast now.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
There is. Because my computer's fucked up now, I will probably be paraphrasing it. But the tweet that I did want to share with you was from Jake Flores at Feral Jokes. And it was something like, oh, the woke mob is now coming for Ghislaine Maxwell, a queer woman I see.
That's amazing.
A good one.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Man, find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, the other show, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra, where we talk 90 Day Fiancé and doing that whole damn thing. Some tweets I like. First one is from at Babadook Nukem. Bela Lugosi's dad tweeted, oh, you don't care? You don't care that organized gangs are robbing Home Depot? Well, I bet you'll care when they rob your house. Dude, why would 10 guys come to my house to steal hammers? Name one reason why that would happen. And then one more from at Jamie Loftus. Help. She tweeted, do you think Sally Rooney's husband reads her sex scenes and is like, yeah, exactly. For the literati out there.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's see. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. Liking tweets such as these. Kate Lambert tweeted, one person on every flight from Chicago to Paris should be allowed to scream mid-flight, Kevin! Always a good bit to shout that as the plane is about to take off. Rads tweeted me, God, I love how you feel inside me. Surgeon, why is she awake? And then Hannah Dickinson tweeted, what's upsetting about hearing my neighbor have sex is realizing she can hear me ask my dog if we're best friends multiple times a day. So cute. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh, man, let's go out on a nice little track out of Kingston, Jamaica from my bygone era. This is Derek Harriott, H-A-R-R-I-O-T-T, with his track called The Loser. It's like a pretty famous track if you're into, you know, if you're into the reggae styles, but it's just got like, I mean, I think it's from the Psychedelic Train, that album. So yeah, maybe late 60s. Anyway, great track, great artist, good vibes to take you into this December to remember event brought to you by Lexus.
That's just interesting that they took the same approach as the CW to a Beck song title. And we're like, right. No, this isn't the loser. This is The Loser.
Okay. Right.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app or Apple Podcast or hell, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. But we are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And hey, we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies. So you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase, only at tomboyx.com.